Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. We've got some big stories to wrap up the week. We have Elon Musk tweeting about version 9 and the full self-driving beta. We have price changes yet again from Tesla and some interior updates on the Model 3. Then March sales numbers out of China, some macro news, and we'll spend a couple minutes on The Boring Company and Neuralink as well. Quick look at the stock, another really low volume day, about 21 million shares traded hands today. Tesla finishing down 1% to $677.02. That compared to the NASDAQ, up 0.5%. All right, first up here, we've got a new tweet from Elon Musk on the FSD beta progress. So this is in response to a whole Mars video demonstrating a zero intervention trip. Elon says, quote, "Almost ready with FSD beta version 9.0. Step change improvement is massive, especially for weird corner cases and bad weather. Pure vision, no radar," end quote. So back in early March, just before the whole download FSD beta saga started, Elon had said that version 8.3 had about 1,000 different changes to it, and that it should be released in a couple of weeks. A couple days before that, he had said that the beta would expand more widely when version 9 is done. So he had talked about version 9, version 8.3, a similar timeline there. To me, the differences are a little bit unclear, but either way, there is a step change here that Tesla is working on internally that we have not yet seen in the beta that some non-employees have. So anyway, I mentioned that for timeline purposes. Elon there at the beginning of March had said hopefully next month for version 9. Obviously, that is the month we are currently in now, in April. But as we all know, delays here are common and the timelines are really tentative when Elon does talk about them. So hopefully we're getting close here, Elon saying almost ready, and then also hopefully this will pair with an FSD beta expansion, perhaps the infamous download FSD beta button. Elon here again also reiterating pure vision, no radar. Previously we had pondered about that and come to the conclusion that maybe he just meant for in-city streets no radar. There are more advantages at higher speeds for radar, and Tesla, as they have talked about, uses radar to bounce under cars for perception of things that can't be attained through vision. But no, that's not the case. Elon here saying truly no radar, responding to a question on this, saying they would just remove it completely from production in the future. So yeah, for people that had speculated that Tesla may eventually add a LiDAR, well, they seem to be going in the opposite direction, going even more all in on vision. If they can do that and cut radar, it's cost savings, power savings, maybe a bit of weight savings. And Elon continues to be as confident as ever. I think that confidence was also echoed by Andre Carpathy on the Robot Brains podcast that we had discussed a week or two ago. All right, next up here, we've got another round of price increases for Tesla. This is impacting the Model 3 and the Model Y. The Model 3 Standard Range Plus and Long Range Non-Performance both increased by $500, as did the Model Y Long Range Non-Performance. And then the Model 3 Performance increased $1,000, while the Model Y Performance did not change. There's also been no change to the Model S and X. If we break out our handy dandy US price change table, we can see that this has been the third price change for Tesla in the last month. And after some price drops in February, we have now seen three straight increases, leading to the net change so far in the year being higher prices for all Model 3 and Model Y vehicles by anywhere between $500 up to $2,000 on the Performance Model 3. So a couple thoughts here. I think a natural reaction there for a Tesla bull would be, oh, Tesla's raising prices because demand is really strong. We saw Tesla sell more vehicles in Q1 than they produced. Tesla's inventory is very low. For those reasons, a price increase could make sense. Historically, that hasn't really been how Tesla has operated, but definitely a possibility. The other possibility that's been discussed, maybe Tesla raising prices ahead of a potential EV tax credit, definitely a possibility as well. Third possibility though, Tesla may just be reacting to rising commodity prices. So if we look at the 1 year graph for a few of these commodities, we can see aluminum just a steady increase over the last year. If we zoom out to the 10 year, the prices don't look all that bad, but it has been a sharp rise off of the lows. If we look at steel, we've definitely seen a rise there as well, and that has been particularly sharp in February and March. If we flip to some of the battery materials here, so looking at nickel, lithium, iron, and cobalt, we can see pretty consistently all those prices have increased over the last year. Nickel has actually dropped a little bit in March, interestingly, but prices there kind of up across the board. Manganese is really the only one that I saw that's declined over the last year. So increased commodity prices there, we may see some increased prices in the supply chain on things like semiconductors. All this depends on how Tesla has structured their contracts. A lot of this is probably long-term that's going to even out some of these fluctuations, but eventually higher prices are going to make their way back into Tesla's cost of goods sold, and that could be part of the reason that we're seeing a price adjustment here. Tesla and their suppliers also obviously have inflation to worry about, and it could be a mix of all of these things. It's not necessarily just one thing. Anyway, the other change Tesla has made here to the design studio is to update the Model 3 door trim, so it now has the wraparound style that we had seen out of Giga Shanghai first, and for now, the Model Y keeps the older design, but I'm sure that will change soon as well. All right, next here we've got March sales numbers for China. So this is not production. Hopefully we'll see those numbers trickle out as well, but from D. Kirk on Twitter, Per the China Passenger Car Association, Tesla sold 35,478 cars in March. Broken down by vehicle, that was just over 25,000 Model 3s and just over 10,000 Model Ys, and obviously huge growth month over month, which, as I think you all know, that's not important to me because of batching and other considerations. That said, the 35,000 number is a great number. That means that production had to have been strong. This is by far a record for Tesla. I think the previous record was in the mid-20s. This is more than was reported for sales for both January and February combined. And ultimately not that surprising given the context of the huge delivery beat that we've already seen reported for Tesla for Q1. So again, hopefully we'll get those production numbers soon. That's going to be a lot more meaningful in terms of being able to extrapolate going forward. Once we get those, we'll hop back into the production spreadsheet. I'm guessing the sales number is quite a bit higher than production this month, but I wouldn't be surprised if production was somewhere near that 30,000 level, which would be more than a 10% jump from the weekly rate from February. Next year, we got some breaking news as I am recording. Tesla has now announced a date for the first quarter earnings report, and they're changing it up on us. I think for the first time in company history, though I'd have to double check on that, Tesla is not doing earnings on a Wednesday. Instead, earnings has been scheduled for Monday, April 26th, after market close. So Tesla's previous calendar had suggested April 21st as the date, if not April 28th. My guess here is that Tesla has decided to change their reporting calendar and they're just starting it off clean at the start of this year with the Q1 results. And this could just be the new cadence going forward, having earnings on a Monday after close. Someone on Twitter did point out that the Crew Dragon launch is scheduled for the early morning hours on April 22nd. So that could be a reason to not do it on April 21st, I guess, though Tesla has kind of worked through some of those things in the past. And if that were the reason, I'd expect them to just move it to April 28th. That actually would line up with last year because last year's report was set back a week because of the pandemic. So that's why I'm guessing this is just a new calendar for Tesla. Maybe there was some other conflict or something. Could be. We'll have to wait until Q2 to find out for sure. Next year, we've got President Biden's budget proposal for fiscal year 2022. He sent it to Congress today. So again, this is the budget, different from the infrastructure plan. But throughout the budget, 61-page document, there are tons of mentions of climate, 151 mentions of climate. Electric vehicles are discussed, clean energy is discussed. I'll put a link to it in the show notes if you want to poke around in the whole document. But I'll point out just two things here that stuck out to me. So the first on EVs, on page 6, they talk about increasing demand for American-made zero-emission vehicles through federal procurement, with the budget requesting $600 million, quote, for electric vehicles and charging infrastructure in the individual budgets of 18 federal agencies, including dedicated funds at the General Services Administration, for other agencies, and for the United States Postal Service charging infrastructure, end quote. So $600 million doesn't go all that far in terms of purchasing EVs. That maybe be between $15,000 and $20,000, but the government does a lot of leasing of vehicles, and they do talk about that specifically later on, so hopefully a bigger impact than that. Another section that stuck out, and again, there's a lot of climate and clean energy talk throughout, but this one particularly, higher budget, says that there is a $10 billion investment to, quote, spur innovation in clean energy technologies, end quote, which would be more than a 35% increase over that budget for 2021. So that's for non-defense clean energy innovation. They say, quote, these investments would help transform the nation's electric, transportation, buildings, and industrial sectors to achieve net zero carbon economy by 2050, end quote. So again, if you want to check out that full budget, that link will be in the show notes, but let's close out the week with some news here on The Boring Company and on Neuralink. We'll start with Boring Company. They have invited the media out to take a look at the Loop in Las Vegas. So presumably they're getting very close to being ready to open, though from the various reports on this that I've read, I haven't seen an opening date to the public. But all the tunneling, all the construction is done, everything is operational, so it should be ready to go. From the media's experience, basically they were driven around in the Teslas by humans so far at 35 miles an hour right now. So quite a few articles out there now taking advantage of that headline saying it's, oh, just an actually boring ride to go through. But remember, these are early days. So again, they do have drivers right now, but this should be one of the first areas where Tesla can actually operate an autonomous service because of the simplicity of the system. We've talked about that in the past if you want to go back to that episode and listen to more details on that. And because these are such narrow passages, when Tesla does flip over that autonomous switch, they should be able to increase the speeds quite dramatically. So Las Vegas and the Las Vegas Convention Center, so far their comments have been very positive. They continue to look at expanding this project. Right now it's just 3 stops and a mile and a half tunnel, but there are development conversations around expanding the system to eventually be 15 miles. So hopefully we're getting close here to a proof of concept that'll warrant further expansion in Vegas and other cities. Miami, as we've been talking about, looking very closely at a tunnel project. Hopefully this can develop into a nice proving ground for autonomy and a pretty good sales funnel for Tesla as well. Sounds like right now they're using 11 vehicles in the tunnels here, but they expect to expand that to 35 and eventually up to 60 vehicles per the Las Vegas Review Journal. All right, to wrap it up here, we got to talk about the latest news from Neuralink. I'm sure many of you saw this yesterday on Twitter. Elon shared it out. Neuralink has this monkey that has a Neuralink implant that is playing Pong just with his mind, just through Neuralink. Like, this is so completely mind-blowing. It reminds me of the Die Progress unit that was coined by Wait But Why, Tim Urban. If you guys don't read that, he does amazing stuff on Neuralink and artificial intelligence in general. Tons of other topics too, but I would definitely recommend reading those. Anyway, he makes up this unit called the Die Progress unit, which he defines as how far in time you would have to transport someone for them to die of shock from what they see in that new period of time. As technological progress accelerates, that period of time becomes shorter. So imagine going from, 1420 to 1520, you'd probably be able to cope pretty well. But going from 1920 all the way to 2020, 2021, where we've got this monkey playing this video game with its brain, it's quite a bit different. Then you think, okay, if that's what happened in the last 100 years, and the progress is only accelerating from here, what's it gonna look like 100 years from now? And that's where it can start to get a little bit scary when you bring in AI. A lot of really exciting stuff though too, and that's what Neuralink is all about. So you can read more about this in particular at neuralink.com/blog. But from here, they say, quote, our first goal is to give people with paralysis their digital freedom back, to communicate more easily via text, to follow their curiosity on the web, to express their creativity through photography and art, and yes, to play video games. After that, we intend to use the link to help improve the lives of those with neurological disorders and disabilities in other ways. For example, for people with paralysis, the link could also potentially be used to restore physical mobility. To achieve this, we'd use the link to read signals in the brain and use them to stimulate nerves and muscles in the body, thereby allowing the person to once again control their own limbs. End quote. As incredible of things as those are, there's still potential even beyond that. And for more on some of those things, again, I would recommend those Wait But Why articles. But that will do it for today and for the week. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you again on Monday for the April 12th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.